Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody. TGIF here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers alongside us, manning that IHOP hotline brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. You can call it 869-1240. It is open phones today here on the show. So get in touch with us that way. You can also get in touch with us, of course, on our video stream, 12 News Connected. We can find your comments on Facebook, YouTube, and X as well. We are out there for everybody. The Chiefs wrap up the preseason. We'll go through their game last night, see if it, either of us think it gives us any indication on some roster decisions coming up. The Royals get back in action. We'll really look in and dig into not only this series with the Phillies, but the next 20 games as well. And then in hour number two today, it'll be a little fun. So what will happen in hour number two, our second hour here today will double over as a part of the pregame festivities for the CBS preseason game this weekend with the Broncos. And we will be a part of that pregame coverage. So we'll take the full hour and it will go there. So what we're going to do in that hour as a little specialty piece is make some predictions for you. We'll go through, we'll make our college football predictions. We'll make some NFL predictions, Super Bowl winners, all of those types of things. We'll have TJ Cleland jump on with us as well in the second hour to join in the fun, as he'll be a part of the picks this year that we make during the season, and maybe even a little high school sports look ahead too with TJ's Catch Kansas crew's been going. So it'll be a fun show today, and we look forward to your participation. We will give away some HTO today. We'll try to do that in the first hour here. In fact, let's set that up right now because it won't make as much sense in the second hour with double duty today. So let's set that up right now. You can enter the contest. It is buy one, get one free day today and every Friday in August at HTO. You can get two free drinks, though, a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, a free coffee drink, iced or hot, featuring free rain coffee. All you got to do to win that is to text the keyword TEA right now to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Tommy, Chiefs in the book. We've got tea times out at Crestview later today. It's going to be a good Friday. We got a little fun to have on the show here today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I was a little concerned about the rain this morning. I mean, we obviously need the rain, but, you know, from a golfing perspective, a little bit concerned about it. But, you know, looks like everything's clearing out. Should be a nice afternoon. In fact, the longer it's cloudy, the cooler it should be as the day rolls on. So it should be pretty nice out there. But glad to be here. Looking forward to kick off the show and get into it today.
I'll tell you the same thing. Just keep it in the fairway. It shouldn't be that big a deal, you know?
Exactly. That's why you got to, it's easy. It's an easy game when you really break it down.
It'll be the first, and we're not, you know, we're actually at two different tee times, but you know, I'm going to hold back what I was just going to say. We will be having fun out at Crestview today. Crestview, great sponsor of this show. We appreciate them. Are you playing the North or the South?
Playing the North course this afternoon.
Okay. So I'll be on the South. Okay. I'll be on the South. So you don't have to worry about any heckling from me, at least while you're playing.
Well, I know I'm going out later than you. I was concerned that we were going to be on the same course and I was going to have to repair all your ball marks and your divots and all of that.
Because
you're a degenerate. You don't even take care of anything.
I do a wonderful job taking care of things. There's zero chance you might see my rear end on that course. Those things would never happen because I'm a gentleman and I'm very well behaved. So, no, you don't have anything to worry about. Nothing at all. But it'll be fun out there. We appreciate Crestview's support of the program. Get out there, check it out. I was in the other day. They've, you know, new paint job on the outside and inside of the clubhouse. It was feeling and looking new and clean and sharp in there. So they've done a great job with some of their renovations. The splash pad at the pool is redone. Have you had your kids out since they redid the splash pad? It's bigger and better than ever.
It's pretty impressive. They did it really fast too. We were out there and they had the concrete all broken up and everything like a couple of weeks ago. We were out there last weekend and it was all done and painted and fun. And, you know, my little kids love it. So it's a really cool addition out there.
Ours do too. All right, let's talk Chiefs here, Tommy. You know, there was nothing, you know, game-wise, they lose, who cares?
They're 0-3 in the preseason means nothing.
None of the starters played. I don't think any of them played. Some of the guys that will be important played, like, you know, Lucas Niang was out there.
but none of the starters played. I think the very obvious takeaway is that Carson Steele has to be on this team. And honestly, it's getting to the point where like he needs to be a contributor on this team. And I'll tell you what I like about his game is it mirrors to some degree to me Isaiah Pacheco's game, right? So I watch him run and I'm like, well, is that the long-term, you know, answer to when Pacheco comes off the field? Because stylistically, the way that they run the ball, there's a lot of similarities between those two guys. And so I kind of look at, I know everybody's been talking about him as a fullback, and maybe that's, we didn't get a great, or at least I didn't in the limited time that I was able to watch the preseason games. I didn't get a feel for his hands or how good a pass blocker he is. So who knows? But as far as just putting the ball on his belly, I mean, you can't let that guy go, I don't think, at this point. So I think he'll have a spot pretty clearly now based on his performance of the preseason games.
Yeah, I've transitioned from after the first preseason game saying, let's pump the brakes and wait, it's one preseason game, to after the second game saying, okay, I think he'll probably make the roster, to after last night, okay, he needs to be prominent in this offense, I think, moving forward.
Well, yeah.
But here's my thought. Okay, so I think that right now, as it stands through the preseason, he's probably running back number two on this depth chart. I think he is. I think he's right behind Isaiah Pacheco. So when I say have a prominent role, I mean as the prominent backup to Isaiah Pacheco. We didn't see Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, at all really this preseason. And I know that he's, you know, been dealing with some issues, and obviously wish him all the best and everything. And he's somebody that has been around for a long time. He brings experience to the running back room that they don't have. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is experienced, but Carson Steele is not. Denarik Prince is not. You know, Keyonte Ingram is not. So I think they do need that experience in their locker room, but I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be a difference maker whatsoever for them. And Denarik Prince, you know, I think is a nice story, but he's probably a practice squad guy yet again this season. So I think Carson Steele has almost, maybe not even almost, I think he's definitively solidified himself as probably the primary backup to Isaiah Pacheco going into this season. And I think the another great thing about him is that you could, in theory, put both of them on the field at the same time. You know, you can have Pacheco as a tailback. You could have Carson Steele as a fullback and can kind of slide into that role as well. So even if he's not, you know, getting a ton of snaps, or as many as we might like at the tailback role, they can slide him into other places too, and he can be, you know, a contributor at fullback.
I don't know that Pacheco needs a fullback the way he runs. So, I mean, yeah, you could formationally maybe put them both down there at the goal line or something. I just think it's hard because you sit here and you watch preseason, and for any other position, you don't want to like overreact to what you're seeing, right, out of a guy like Carson Steele. And then you remember Isaiah Pacheco was what, a sixth round pick and an
seventh round draft
on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not unprecedented at all. And at that position, especially, I don't think you just can't ignore what your eyes are telling you, which is that this guy is useful and could be a meaningful contributor.
Yeah.
If he's able to handle everything that would come into being a backup for a guy like Isaiah Pacheco, who, again, both of these guys, I mean, violent runners get hurt in the NFL. Just happens, right? And so to have another guy who can at least replicate some of what Pacheco's able to do would be handy. He'll make the team. He's got to make the team. There's no chance, right, that he doesn't make the team. They'd be crazy.
Yeah,
let him go.
By the way, the other thing about Carson Steele, I know that he was undrafted, and so there's been a little bit of where did this guy come from? All of a sudden, he's burst onto the scene. It's not like he went to no-name schools. He was at UCLA.
He did. He went to Ball State and then transferred to UCLA.
Yeah, but he played last year at UCLA, and Ball State's right. Not a no-name school. I mean,
well, no, they're
not
fine.
Massive.
It doesn't
it's
matter.
Fine.
It's a running
just,
back. Right?
I'm just saying, like, it's there's been kind of that. Where did he come from? Just out of nowhere. Well, he played for UCLA a year ago and started nine games for UCLA. So, you know, he was a Pac-12 running back that started for UCLA a season ago. So, yeah, while he was undrafted, that doesn't matter ultimately at the end of the day. and it's not like he just burst onto the scene and nobody, you know, has ever heard of him before. Maybe for the Chiefs, yes, because he wasn't a draft pick that his name got called in April. But he was a fairly prominent college running back during his career.
Running back to me, it doesn't really matter where you went. And I know it matters. It matters. But to like what we're seeing on the field, I don't care where he played college football. He's running over dudes at the NFL.
Yeah. And by the way, it does matter where you went, because the Chiefs drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round because he went to LSU. Like, that was a part of it. He was very, very prominent and very well known.
It didn't matter.
But that's the narrative. Like, it does matter.
People can say that the narrative. And at some positions, it matters. Yeah. At quarterback, it matters more. At running back, for me, like, can you pass block when you're a Chiefs running back? Because that's critical for Patrick Mahomes. And I can see that you can run people over. I don't care where you, like, you're running people over. Like, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, he's running people over. But, you know, remember, he started at Ball State.
Yeah.
Like, nobody does that at running back, especially not the evaluators. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco played at Rutgers.
Right.
We're going to be unkind. Who I hear might actually have a decent football team this year. Carson Steele is he's the headline grabber. And that's important too, right? It's important that he gets people fired up. It's important that Mahomes is on the fire. I mean, you can't tell me that you can't find a spot for him on special teams. Like, yeah, I imagine he could go down and make a tackle or block something.
Well, and he had a return, you know, last night. He's had returns in the preseason
think he's going to be doing that, but.
He, with the way the new kickoff rules maybe are, he may be a contributor, you know, in that regard and be effective. He's been one of, if not the most effective returner for the Chiefs throughout the preseason, just because of the way that the new kickoff is set up. He's solidified on the roster. He'll make the 53-man roster. That gives me a little bit more comfort in knowing that there is some depth behind Isaiah Pacheco that can be effective, because, like I said, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know what you're going to get out of him, but he's not going to be a difference maker on this team. And Denaric Prince, while he has been fun at times, and you've seen flashes in last preseason and this preseason, I'm just not sure that he's shown anywhere close to the skills or talent necessary to be a contributor at the NFL level right now.
I think they'll keep three running backs, and I think Steele will be one of them. Wide receiver was one that we watched. It was an interesting night at wide receiver, quite frankly. I think the way they used Tony continues my belief that they will find a way to keep Kadarius Tony on the roster. Mecole Hardman had the most targets. He did nothing in the game, which was somewhat interesting. There is a belief out there that Hardman doesn't make the team either, which I suppose we could consider. It's not like they're paying him a ton of money. So I think the way that I don't want to say they force fed the ball to Tony early. It did feel that way just a little bit. And if you'll recall, he almost had an unreal stat line, because if the Bears defender doesn't make a great play on that, there was a play where Olodokun was scrambling around and heaved one up and it was a last second deflection. That would have been a touchdown, assuming, which might be a little rich, that Kadarius Tony catches that ball. But his stat line was almost like ridiculous if you look at that. I think they were forcing him the ball early to just sort of justify a decision that they had already hoped for. I think, Tommy, he's going to be on the roster.
See, I don't. I still don't think that they're going to find a place for him. And Andy Reid, after the game, didn't really give him a ringing endorsement. You know, basically said that he's in a battle to make the team. And he is. And that's nothing that we don't already know.
Andy Reid after the game also said the biggest challenge for him is staying healthy.
For sure. And he did say that, you know, they know his talent. If it was going to be definitive that there was going to be a place for him, you know, I think that it would have been a little bit more of a ringing endorsement from Andy Reid than what we saw last night. That would just be my guess. I know he tends to play his cards very close, you know, to his vest and everything. But if it were me, I think that Kadarius Toney, if he was a lock to make the roster, you probably would have heard a little bit more about that from the head coach.
He didn't give any indication that Carson Steele still feels to me
like he's like very squarely on the bubble and that it could go one direction or the other.
Absolutely think he is.
And I have not moved, even from watching him last night and then hearing Andy Reid's comments, there was nothing that happened in the whole realm of the game and postgame last night that would lead me to change my mind at this point that he's going to make the team. I still think that he's out.
Well, it's nothing in that outcome will surprise me. I do think, and this is why I think it's been a challenge for the, I think the Chiefs have been challenging him to get his head screwed on right. And I do think they'll give him one more chance. Sky Moore, was it a punt return? Like, I know he touched the ball, but I don't even remember the context of it. I think he's in far more danger than Tony. And I just don't know of the other group. Hardman, I had always just sort of put Hardman on the roster, and maybe that was naive of me. I don't know what they're going to do, but I do think Tony will be a part. We'll see.
I mean, we'll find out
in about a week.
And what was interesting, you know, and I know that Dave Tobe is one of the most respected special team coaches, assistant coaches in the National Football League. And I know that he's got Andy Reid's ear. They have a ton of respect for one another. Dave Tobe, I don't know if you've caught this. He's been advocating for Nico Remigio to make the roster to be somebody that could be a contributor on special teams for the Chiefs this season. If that ends up,
they targeted him three times.
If that ends up being the case, then you could see Hardman and potentially Tony and or Moore out of the team. I mean, because that does add in another receiver into the mix.
You could see Hardman just not make it, regardless of what happens with everybody else.
Exactly. That could take that spot.
What's gotten really interesting, because at this point you could totally justify, you can justify just about any of these outcomes. You could definitely justify keeping Tony and not Hardman. I mean, Tony's upside is higher. So is his floor, right? So is his downside. But what I think has been interesting, and again, this is just me trying to watch preseason games and probably taking too much out of it. It has seemed to me a little bit that the return game that we're anticipating, when we see guys like Steele back there, I don't know. I almost thought of it like as you put a couple punt returners back there, small, shifty guys. Now it is looking more like a, like you remember Brian Westbrook and how great he was. Like, it's almost like, hang on a minute. Like, this, the way it's designed might benefit a bulkier, you know, back a little bit more. Maybe it takes away your ability to break one off, but it also ensures maybe a more secure field position. So I don't know what they'll do. I haven't gotten the indication you'll see like Hardman and Tony back there, like we might have thought, you know, 3 months ago, just in returning everything. They'll probably still return punts, but I'm not sure they're going to return kicks. So I don't know what to make of special teams in all of this. And it's probably the key factor that's the hardest to predict.
Yeah, so going back to Dave Tobe and his comments, this was a couple of days ago, and you couldn't get any more positive than this and definitive from Dave Tobe. He said in regards to Nico Remigio that he would be, quote, pounding the table to keep Remigio on the 53-man roster this year. And, you know, of course, it comes down to Andy Reid and Brett Veach also, you know, clearly want to do, and how much credence they give to Dave Tobe's comments. My only concern would be if they don't keep a player like Remigio, and I don't know if the situation is identical or not, or exactly what would happen there. But you remember a year ago when the Chiefs traded Amir Smith-Marset to the Panthers, and he was somebody that had a really standout preseason and looked to be somebody that could provide a spark in the wide receiver room for the Chiefs, and they traded him to the Panthers. And he didn't end up doing a whole lot for the Panthers. He was mainly on special teams last year. But when it got rough wide receiver-wise for Kansas City middle of the season, I remember thinking at the time, man, it wouldn't have been terrible to at least still have Smith-Marset on the roster somewhere or on the practice squad, where they maybe could have given him a few reps to see if he could do better than what these current guys are doing. I just don't want the same thing to happen with a player like Nico Remigio.
My hands are in the air on it. I'll trust him to do whatever they need to do. I think that the new special teams thing makes this wildly unpredictable, and it probably makes their decision even harder because they're also still trying to figure this out. When you talk about reps and everything else, like, they haven't, there's not a lot out there for them to go for, especially a veteran like Tobe. Like, this is a new invented thing, right, that we're trying to figure out. So I don't know how much that will go into the roster decisions. I know that Andy Reid didn't and will never give any indication of what he's thinking. So we'll get more into it. We'll play you some of that post-game audio perhaps in the second hour a little bit later. But, you know, it's in the books. Preseason's done. No, you know, if the Hollywood Brown ding is the only thing injury-wise that comes out of training camp slash the preseason, Tommy, for the,
kind
for
of.
The
I mean,
key starters.
Except, I mean, Wanya Morris, and I know that he's going to be more of a depth piece probably at this point.
Yeah, I think he's
but
fine.
But he re-aggravated the knee that he's had an issue with throughout the preseason. It just, to me, it lends more credence to the thought that they probably need to find some additional depth, I would think, on the offensive line between now and the start of the season.
Yeah, we'll see. And I don't know what their evaluation is of the backups. I mean, Andy Reid very vaguely answers all those types of questions. So anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to look ahead for the Royals as well. Don't forget, hour number two is a fun hour. It's like a simulcast edition of the hour because it's going to go into some pregame slot before the game this weekend on CBS. So our 12 News Connected partnership continues to grow. We're excited about that. We're going to come back. We'll get you ready for the Royals. TJ Cleland joins us in the second hour to preview the NFL season. We'll make some predictions, sort of a preview of our picks this year, if you will. But lots of fun still to come here on the program. All that football talk you're hearing, well, it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll be right back. All right, welcome in, everybody. Sports Daily, KFH, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Rick brings up the semantics of roster rules in the NFL. Hardman is a veteran. He says they can cut him and not worry about waivers claims. If he wants to sign his practice squad, they could allocate. I don't think with Hardman, I'm not sure how much of an appetite league-wide there would be for Hardman at this point. Maybe there would be. I think it feels kind of Chiefs or bust, so maybe he would potentially be a practice squad guy, which would be handy to have, right? He knows the system. He could get called up and help out immediately. So who knows? We'll get those roster decisions here pretty quick, and then we can all stop worrying about it. Tommy, the Royals, not worried about it, but we're excited about it. This stretch of games coming up, this will be a challenge. And it starts tonight with Philadelphia. I mean, look, if we're talking tonight specifically, this is one that feels gettable. I mean, if you're talking about just looking at the starting pitching, you're about to face two Cy Young contenders essentially in the next two games. So maybe you go get Taijuan Walker. Michael Walker has been way consistent. You're at home though. Look, I don't want to sit here and be like scared of the Phillies. You're at home. You should take two of three, you know, from the Phillies. You should win this series, but that's going to be tough to do if they don't win the game tonight.
Yeah, one of the benefits of this series for me and one of the benefits of being a Braves fan is the Braves just got done playing the Phillies. The finale of their series was last night, and then Philadelphia goes from Atlanta to Kansas City. So I've watched the Phillies the last couple of nights, and the Braves took two of three from Philadelphia. The Braves are depleted. Like, their injuries are through the roof, and they're still keeping it a race in the National League East with the Phillies. And especially after taking two of three at home that wrapped up last night. The biggest thing right now is that the Phillies are having some issues offensively. And really, the injuries that the Braves have had, it really extends to their pitching staff as well. And last night, and this game was on Fox nationally last night, Spencer Schwellenbach pitched for the Braves and went seven innings. And I think gave up a couple of runs, but had a bunch of strikeouts. And then their bullpen took over and, you know, shut down. Really, Raisel Iglesias shut down the middle of the Phillies order last night to close out the game and win it 3-2. I think he only pitched had 10 pitches to strike out the side, basically, to get out of it. Harper and Castellanos and Stott. So the Royals are in a position now. They've got a better pitching rotation than the Braves do. So they're in a better spot, I think, than Atlanta was, and they just had Philadelphia in town for three games and took two out of three. So I absolutely think that the Royals, with the talent that they have overall, can do the exact same thing at home.
Yeah, sure they can. And it quick aside, it's so funny, the Braves and the Rangers are the two most snake-bitten injury teams, our teams this year. It's not even close, I don't think. But we get the Royals, thankfully. You're not scared of anybody if you're Kansas City. I mean, you're just not. Like, what team in Philadelphia would be as close as there is, probably? What team, when you look at it on paper, and this is some of what we talked about yesterday, can you be like, oh man, that's a better team than the Royals? That's what is so wild about this year to me and the way that this has played out. Could you have imagined in April, or let's call it March? I think we could have imagined, hey, the Royals could be, you know, they could be contending for a playoff spot. At least I have said that with the additions they made in the offseason, you could see a path with the highest upside. We had, you know, we had fooled me once too many times on that. But you're like, yeah, you know, if the starting pitching, you know, if these guys come over and do a nice job, sure, you could see it. You know, they get some good young players, and a lot of those things have happened. But what the remarkable thing about this year has been to me is now we look at it, and could you have imagined in that same time saying, man, the Royals are going to be in the conversation as the best top-to-bottom roster in baseball? Because I would have said, you're flipping crazy if you'd have told me that. Playoff contender? Sure. Everybody can be a playoff contender. One of the best rosters in baseball? I'd have called you crazy. But that is the reality of the situation. Run differential tells you that. And it is because of so many things going the right way this year, right? It didn't really, the only additions that you look at and say just massive contributors are Lugo and Waka, right? Singer, Reagans was an addition a year ago. And then, you know, Renfro now has come around, and some of the play, Frazier, they're contributors, but they're not lighting the world on fire, but it's all come together well. And then they had a really nice trade deadline, but that's the situation we're in right now on August 23rd, is that this roster is as good as anybody else's. So I don't think you look at any of these series and be like, oh man, just survival. When I say I think they need to go 500, it's not because I think they're underdogs or anything like that. It's just the reality of the way the season's played out overall. I'm saying if you can get to 500 through this stretch, I think they'll be in fine shape to make the playoffs. And I don't want to overexpect anything, because we've had a whole season of Major League Baseball, not just the Royals, of baseball as a whole, to say it's really hard for good teams to beat good teams consistently this year. That's why nobody's going to get to 100 wins.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the best roster from top to bottom. They weren't the best roster from top to bottom before the trade deadline. And, no, you know, that has absolutely flipped the script for Kansas City. And I remember at the time, and I'm going to eat crow a little bit here, I was underwhelmed by their trade deadline acquisitions at the time. I felt like it was okay at best, but nothing that was, you know, incredibly amazing at the time. I've fully come around on that. I mean, I was wrong on that. Jeff Passan tweeted last night. He gives Kansas City the crown for the best trade deadline performance this year. Lucas Ersig has an ERA of zero since coming to the Royals in over 10 innings. Yeah. Paul DeJong has a slash line of 286, 340, 548 with three home runs. And the Michael Lorenzen has an ERA under two in his time with the Royals over 22 and two-thirds innings. So those three right there have been just absolutely nails for the Royals since coming over.
And those three were not headline guys. Yeah. Harvey was the headliner trade. They gave up far more for Harvey than anything. Now he's been hurt. So, you know, whether he contributes or not this year, you really hope that he does, because that would they need that spot filled pretty badly. You combine that again. We talked about Piccolo for executive of the year. Is it even close? I mean, it can't be. When you look at also what he did in the offseason to bring guys in, like, it cannot be close in who the executive of the year in baseball is this year. It's been a good button pushing year. And you know what? Karma's maybe in play, because they've had way too many years of pushing all the wrong buttons and just bad fortune. I am a Dayton Moore fan. I think you probably are too with his time in Atlanta. I think he was a great person. I love his ties to this state, and I love what he did for the organization in 14 and 15. They just couldn't get anything right for a lot of years here. And now they deserve this so badly. So you look at the stretch, it's Philadelphia. That's who they'll play through the weekend. It's not so much the Philadelphia as it is what happens next week. Starting with a doubleheader on Monday, they go to Cleveland, to Houston. That's the road trip. Here's the Philadelphia is a good team. So you were, but you're talking about the thing is, all of these teams are playoff teams. Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota. Those are the, and then it'll end with the Yankees, but I don't know that they'll compete as directly with the Yankees. But Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota, like those are the teams. Those are the teams directly that you're going to be fighting to get that spot. You also get a little excited about what if they get on a hot streak and take a bunch of these? And I think they're certainly capable of that. I don't know whether to be more excited or more fearful. I really don't at this point. It is a weird, it was a weird day yesterday to just sit there. You could see it going insanely well, insanely poorly, or what I'm kind of hoping for is just kind of just get through it and maintain your lead all the way to the playoffs. It's a wild, it is a wild time.
Well, and don't forget, Cleveland lost again last night, and so the Royals are only two games back. Of course, they're still tied with Minnesota in second, but they're only two games back of the Guardians, and that just seems so wild to me because of just the lead that Cleveland has had basically this entire season over Kansas City and how hot they were to start the season. They're kind of floundering a little bit, and it wasn't just they lost two of three to the Yankees. You know, of course, that game, those games were in New York. But it was the fact that the finale last night, the Yankees shut them down. Yankees won 6-0. And so that doesn't bode well, I don't think, for Cleveland as things continue. And it sets up for, of course, you can't overstate the importance of when these two teams are going to lock horns beginning next week. And the fact that they've got two out of the next three series after Philadelphia, they're head-to-head. But just the fact that Cleveland has cooled off now, and the Royals are kind of hot right now. And it's a complete 180, I think, from remember the last time these two teams matched up, and it was like at the time, just hang on. Just do what you can to hang on in that three-game set against Cleveland. One game got rained out, and so they kind of escaped with the sweep or with a split because Cleveland was so good back then. I think you absolutely like.
And the Royals were banged up.
They were banged up. Like where the Royals are right now when they get an opportunity to face them again.
It is. I completely agree. And while there are parts of this, Philadelphia, maybe Houston, that it's like, okay, just survive these series, you know, just make sure. The Cleveland and Minnesota portion of this 20-game stretch feels like go get them. Right. Feels like go chase it because Minnesota, the three you get, remember, at home. Kansas City's really struggled in Minnesota. And don't worry about that. They get that one at home. But you do have to play four in Cleveland. So I cannot wait for it. You get the game tonight. Coverage begins here on KFH at 7 o'clock against the Phillies. That's on KFH. Saturday and Sunday, you get 6 o'clock coverage beginning on Saturday, 1 o'clock coverage beginning on Sunday. And if you want to make a day of it Saturday, I'll be on Infinity Sports Network from 11 to 4. I don't think there's any local interruption there, so you should get me all the way through here in Wichita, kind of take you pretty close up to the Royals.
But by the way, that'd be fun as well. Yeah. Really, really quick. Your Rangers get the Guardians this weekend, so hopefully they can do the Royals a little favor, beat up on them a little bit, you know, help them out.
They're running out of bodies. But they still have star power, so yeah, they could absolutely do something there in that series if the pitching lines up for them. All right, we'll come back. We'll look elsewhere around the sports world. Don't forget hour number two. We got predictions coming. Really looking forward to that. All kinds of fun stuff. It'll be a new adventure in hour number two, and we'll have that for you. But we'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this. Welcome back in, everybody. We wrap up hour number one here. Don't forget, hour number two will be a special hour, special edition, if you will, of Sports Daily, where we will take the show. And what will happen is that hour will re-air, not just on 12 News Connected. It'll air on 12 News ahead of the NFL, the CBS NFL pregame or preseason game on Sunday. We will go on, I believe, at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So that'll be fun. What we'll do there is bring in TJ Cleland. We're going to make some NFL predictions for you, an annual tradition on the show. Jad writes those down and then makes fun of us later in the year for what we predict. So we'll do a little of that with TJ. We'll talk a little K-State and KU football ahead of their seasons, which begin next week. So it'll be a lot of fun in that second hour. Tommy, it's a time though where people can still get in touch with you. If you want to be on the show and then potentially, go into a KWCH broadcast of it, You can call the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. IHOP excited about their all-you-can-eat pancakes deal, which goes through September 15th. So that'll still be open for you. We'll also take comments, video comments. So if you want to get any of those, if they're relevant to what we're talking about, you can always feed us those through Facebook, YouTube, or X.
Yeah.
Or you can just reach out to us directly, but we'll still be able to do all the same things that we always do as we make that simulcast.
Yeah, and don't forget about the talkback feature that's brand new on the Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we've had anybody utilize that yet, but you definitely can. Go to the Odyssey app. You can go right there to KFH Radio. There's a little microphone icon right by the play button. You can click that. You're basically leaving us a voicemail. It's kind of like a voice memo, but it comes directly to us. It pops up
that's
here.
That's a dangerous.
You can tell us how
Chad will
we
check
are.
Those.
Chad's going to filter them through. And
if you're trying to like
judgment.
Sneak through a big fart sound or something, which would be great if somebody wanted to do that. But yeah, we'll have a filter on those.
Yeah.
You're not going to get free reign there.
But you can do that if you don't want to talk to us live. You can absolutely leave that voice memo or talkback feature. And then assuming it's good quality, we'll play it back here on our show in hour two.
So that'll all happen for you. We're excited about it. Again, the Chiefs preseason wrap things up. That we'll look more predictively in the second hour at the Chiefs and the Royals a little bit. Everything in the second hour will be bigger picture kinds of stuff. And so we're excited about that. KUK State included. I don't even know how you get predictive with K-State and KU, but we'll try. The Big 12 is so wild this year. But we'll take a swing at that. But the NFL is a fun one. That's the one I've been looking forward to. So what we're going to do there is we'll tell you sort of who we think are going to make the playoffs, right? You got your seven playoff teams from each conference. That's where we're at right now. Seven, in the NFL. And then we'll give you like a conference championship and then a Super Bowl prediction. That gets a little easier. Well, not easier, but gets a little, simpler than trying to predict a college football season, but that's how that will work. So we'll take you through that as well. I'm looking forward to it. I love the prediction show every year. I love taking a swing at things, seeing where everybody feels about everything. And I'm curious to see how many similarities we have. I'm sure we'll all have some similarities in who we ultimately think will be the champion. But up until that point should get pretty interesting, and I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time, and I like it too. I like the predictions. I just don't like it when, you know, we get called on when we were wrong at the end of the season.
Oh, I do. I am
not a fan of that.
Nobody's right about that.
I still don't know if I've lived down. I don't think it was last year. It might have been two years ago.
Putting the Chargers
in. Picked the Chargers instead of the Chiefs. I don't think I'll ever live that down. But I'll tell you one thing: I'll never do that again.
Anybody that thinks they're really good at it with the NFL is lying, probably, because at that point you'd go be a great better, right? And the best of the best is like 51% of the time. So I think you can hang your hat more on your champions or, you know, those kinds of things than you can trying to predict that the Texans last year were going to be this turnaround. I mean, those are fun things to do, but I always think like if I'm in the ballpark on the championship games and the ultimate champion, I feel pretty good about my predictions as a whole. There's lots of little predictions we make on individual players and who we think is going to be and we'll do MVP. So we'll do NFL MVP as well. So all of that's coming in the second hour. We'll have TJ Cleland joining us. We're looking forward to that. TJ will jump in. He and Brandon Zinner, who couldn't be here today, but will be a part of our picks along with Paul Savage, which, man, it is going to be absolute chaos, on Fridays making those picks. I'm looking forward to that.
We're going from three people making picks to five people making picks each week.
Four back in the day. It can be done. We just have to be quick. You know, we're long-winded radio people here that have to be clear and succinct. TJ and Brandon live in the TV world. We cram what we do in 2 hours in TV into about 3 minutes. So I think they'll be okay. We'll just have to readjust our, you know, poetic waxing about each individual pick that we make. Do it all next. Looking forward to it. Here we go, everybody. It's going to be a good time. Hour number two. It is our simulcast hour with KWCH, not just 12 News Connected, but KWCH as a whole. Stay tuned for that. We're excited for it, and it begins when we return.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here. Glad to be coming to you on KFH, on the Odyssey app, on 12 News Connected, and for those watching right now on KWCH ahead of a big preseason NFL football game between the Cardinals and Broncos. It is a great day to be on the show with us today because we're going to make a lot of predictions in this. Glad to be with you. If you're not regular consumers of the show, we're here each and every Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. on KFH Radio, 97.5 FM, 1240 AM, also available on the Odyssey app. You can get podcast versions of our show, and you can see us each and every day on 12 News Connected. If you're new to the show, you can reach out to us on our hotline, our IHOP hotline at 869-1240. You can leave us video comments. You can find this as well on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. Lots of different ways to interact with the show. We're excited to have it all for you. Coming up in this hour, what we're going to do is look ahead at a lot of things. We're going to recap the Chiefs' final preseason game, look at their offseason as a whole, get that all buttoned up as we then go into our predictions. It's a yearly tradition here where we try to predict playoff things in the NFL, which is always a fool's errand, but we'll have that coming up a little later. TJ Cleland of 12 News is going to join us for that. He'll talk a little bit as well about some of the work Ketchikansas is doing right now. We're also going to get some sort of brief overlook of KU and K-State heading into their seasons, which begin next week. It's all coming for you here. Jad Chambers is back in the studio, as always, manning our hotline. If you want to be in touch with the program, Tommy, it is a great day to be on Sports Daily.
Yeah, it is. It's great to be here. Fun to be here today. And so I'm looking forward to getting into the predictions. And I'll be the first to say, you know what? I've made my fair share of rough ones over the years, but there have been some that are pretty good over time. And so I feel solid. I feel confident about the way it's going to go here later on today.
I think if you can get your champion, ultimately, you feel pretty good about him, right? And I know, like Chiefs fans, I think I predicted the Chiefs last year. I'm pretty sure I did. And that got a little dicey, but it's like, don't waver from that. That was a whole thing last year. But we'll get you, not to spoil anything, but we will talk about the Chiefs here, and our predictions will come in the next segment. So the preseason's in the books. Training camp is in the books. The offseason is in the books, Tommy, now. I know the front office has still a little tidying up to do with the roster and some key decisions there. But as far as the football team, they have been and are now preparing for the Ravens. I think as we look at this offseason as a whole, Creed Humphrey was the last big contract that was signed. They got a lot of things cleaned up contractually this offseason. Getting Creed Humphrey, I know, was a priority for the front office. They still need to do Trey Smith, but it was good to see that one get done. They went out and they added Hollywood Brown to a wide receiver room that needed it. Rashi Rice had an insanely rocky beginning to his offseason, but as his legal situation has just sort of stalled out in the court system, he'll be there now, what we think is probably most of, if not all of, this season. And then they go draft Xavier Worthy. They draft Kingsley Suamataya, who looks like he'll be their left tackle, and they make it through all of it. They're nicked up like every team is, but if Hollywood Brown's collarbone injury was the only key long-term critical injury of the entire process, I think you feel pretty good about it. And I would say from winning the last Super Bowl to now, it has been a success for the Chiefs.
I think a lot of the questions that were posed during the offseason mostly have been answered going into week one of the regular season. And a lot of those questions, I think, surrounded the supporting cast of this team. What would things look like on the defensive side of the ball? Who could slide in and replace Legarius Sneed? What is that going to look like in their secondary? They don't have Willie Gay Jr. going into this season. What does the linebacker core look like? As far as the wide receivers, we know it's been well documented and well talked about the struggles that the wide receiver room had a season ago. They addressed that in the offseason. Of course, Hollywood Brown is dealing with an injury right now, and it's unclear if he'll be available for week one or not. But still, they go out and get Xavier Worthy. And I think that overall, most people feel, at the very minimum, marginally better about the wide receiver room, if not much better. So that's, I think, a big question that has been answered for the most part also. Offensive line has been a big question mark, I think, in the offseason for the Chiefs as well. And so all of those things combined were the main storylines going into this season. One thing I want to point out, though, is this time a year ago, the entire storyline was surrounding Chris Jones and what was going to happen with him. It's been great to not have that kind of distraction. There have been other off-the-field things this offseason with the Chiefs, but it's been great to not have a holdout and a cornerstone franchise player that it's unclear about what his future with the team will be. At least a lot of that and basically all of that is not on the table right now. So overall, yeah, I feel pretty good about where the Chiefs stand going into week number one of the regular season.
There was a tone set early in camp that you can sort of tell has been the tone, and it was set by the two leaders of the team, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, at least offensively. They did not have fun last year, and they don't want that process again. And I think that was a good tone to set. And Chris Jones may, you know, his situation is certainly a part of that. Having him here, you know, locked in, ready to roll has been nice to see. It is... To me, I think it's wildly successful because of where we saw the team last year. I think the offense will vary, and we'll get into this a little bit more in the predictions. I think the offense is very clearly going to be better than it was a year ago. I think the defense, I don't personally think the defense will be as good. Now, I will tell you that on this very show, it would have been probably the first week of training camp. Mitch Holthus told us that he thinks the defense could be even better. Now, he baked in some growth for young players. I've not talked to Mitch directly since, and I'd be curious to know now through a preseason if he still thinks that same thing. I'm not that bullish on the defense. Now, that's not a knock on the how what I think the defense could be this year. It's a realization of how good they were last year. Replicating that without Snead to me seems, I don't want to call it impossible, but it seems unlikely.
Seems challenging. Yeah. And there are there are so many different factors that come into play with that.
They don't have to be that good, do they? Like that's the reality. If the offense is so much better, and I think that it is, they don't need the defense to be that same level of defense to ultimately replicate the outcome, which is what it's all about this year more than any other year ever before, because you're trying to make history this year. I would envision an intensity that is maybe even ramped up another notch. You can do something in this year, especially if you're Jones, Kelce, Mahomes, Reed, all Hall of Famers, that would put you in a place that elevates you among even Hall of Famers, right? It helps Mahomes' ultimate GOAT case. Kelce is the GOAT at his position, I think, at this point. And I really don't know how much longer he has left, but this is that thing. As he's, you know, acting in movies now and hosting game shows and dating the world's most famous person and all of these things where you can sort of see what post-football life is going to look like for Kelce, he's not there yet. This year, he's already a Hall of Famer. A lot of people, if not most people, already think he's the greatest that's ever played his position, and he has a chance to go win a third straight Super Bowl. Andy Reid, in the conversation of the great coaches right now, what if he wins a third straight Super Bowl? So it's all right there for these key characters to bring an intensity, perhaps even more than they ever have, and which is, you know, maybe at least as much as they ever have, let's say. It's gone well, I think, in the training camp portion of the offseason. I don't know how you could be anything but giddy right now if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Yeah, going back to your point about the defense not needing to be as good as a year ago, that's all contingent on if the offense does take a step forward and in the right direction this coming season and have that kind of offset, potentially a step down for the Kansas City defense. I think that really it's going to come down to What does it look like for the players that will slide into that role that L'Jarius Sneed had? And I'll be honest, I don't think we saw a whole lot from the cornerbacks in the preseason to be able to give you an idea on that.
Yeah, you just don't see it.
Jalen Watson is a player that I think by all accounts, I don't think the expectation is for him to be the next coming of L'Jarius Sneed, but I think that he would maybe be the beneficiary of added reps and that sort of thing. In the final preseason game, he was not good. And I don't know if that's anything that you can carry over as a concern into the regular season or not. He got burned for a long touchdown pass against Tyson Bagent on Thursday night against the Bears, which that doesn't bode well, I don't think, for the regular season. That being said, though, we don't talk a whole awful lot about, at least we haven't historically, about the safeties on this team because the cornerbacks had been so good. And Justin Reed, him getting healthy in time for the regular season is crucial. And then Jaden Hicks, the rookie, had been kind of standout in the preseason. And so I think their safety lineup is probably going to be better than their cornerbacks. And the cornerbacks had always been the premier spot in the secondary for the Chiefs. That might be something that bears watching as the season goes on, because I do think that the safety position will be a strength for them.
The safeties will. The corners, I'm not going to say it'll be good until I see it, because I think Sneed was incredible. And the pass rush is going to be a challenge right now.
McDuffie is still there too, by the way. I mean, he's going to be the anchor of that secondary.
McDuffie just doesn't get thrown at. Right. That's not going to change, right? He'll be like a shadow out there. He'll blitz and do all the other things that make him great, but quarterbacks don't throw at him. Slot corner will matter. And pass rush will matter. And Felix Anudike Uzomah is still a work in progress.
He's got to take a step forward this season.
If they don't get, one of their corners elevated to the level of Sneed, which is unlikely, then, the cure for that is a good pass rush. If you don't have both, now we're looking at not. And again, I don't want to say problem. I don't think it's a problem. It's not going to replicate a year ago. But again, they don't need it to. They won't play that style of football this year. At least they don't want to. And they'll be much more explosive offensively. And it will take some of the pressure off the defense. And honestly, Tommy, it will probably make them... I got to be careful how I say this, because maybe a more opportunistic, maybe a more aggressive in play calling defense, maybe kicking it a little more old school of the big play defensively opportunity. But as far as just shutting teams down and not allowing them to score the way they did a year ago, I can't see that path right now.
And, Chris Jones is another year older. He's still the best defensive tackle in the game now that Aaron Donald, not in the NFL anymore, but he still is a year older. And I think we did see him. I'm not even going to go so far to say he lost a step. He maybe lost a half step from the years prior to last season. He's getting older. It just is what it is. It doesn't mean that he still can't be a game wrecker, because he absolutely can be, especially with the pass rush and getting to the quarterback. But I do think you have to bake that in a little bit too, that, hey, Chris Jones, while still a high impact player, is another year older. And so I think what was so surprising to me, and I know I started this off by saying that overall I feel really good and I feel like most of the questions have been answered for the Chiefs going into this season. The one thing that has been surprising to me this entire offseason is that defense, which was, I would go ahead and say, elite a season ago. I think it rose to that level.
Well, yeah, it was the best defense in football.
They had subtractions on that defense.
Sure they did.
And they didn't do anything outside of the draft to replenish those subtractions.
They focused on the offense, obviously, and for good reason. I would have done the same thing. I mean, I think at some point, last year was incredibly fortunate, right? You had the struggles offensively that not many people would ever see coming, but the defense was there and special teams was there to save them, because Harrison Butker was incredible last year. They won't, by design, need that to happen this year. They focused on the offense, because when you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, it always needs to be about the offense, right? Like that's just a part of it. And winning back-to-back Super Bowls comes on the razor thinnest of lines, one or two plays in different directions. And, I think they would very much like to enhance or pad some margins that they're able to win by. Because if you think you can replicate what they did a year ago with how many things were so close at the end, that seems like that's the wrong way to look at it. So what was the most likely way for them to start beating people more? By adding to the offense, by going and getting Hollywood Brown, by spending your first round pick on Worthy and your second round pick on a left tackle, and all of those things that should make this offense significantly better than it was a year ago. You can live with some of the losses on defense and having a gifted coordinator to bring the best out and confuse teams and do all the things that Spagnuolo is able to bring to the table too. They still return a ton on the defense. The typical growth time under Spags that we saw early in his Chiefs career, I don't think that's going to be there. You know, I don't think they're going to come out and struggle defensively by any means. Most of the defense is back and they'll know what they're doing. And so it's not a concern. I still think they'll be a top half of the league defense, but just not going to be the best defense like it was a year ago.
Of course, getting Hollywood Brown back as quickly as possible is paramount for the Chiefs, for them to be able to realize the full potential of this new rebuilt offense. That being said, though, every single starter, and I'm not counting Hollywood Brown in,
kicking asphalt every day.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. This is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Caster with you now and every Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Also on 12 News Connected. You can watch us each and every day. Joining us right now, 12 News Sports Director TJ Cleland. TJ will be a part of our picks this fall. TJ and Brandon Zinner going to hop in alongside our buddy Paul Savage as we do our best to make picks each and every week. Those will be against the spread. So from a betting angle, certainly, but makes it far more difficult. Today, what we're going to do is try to predict some NFL things. So we do this every year, and Johnny on the spot, quickly emailed us as he keeps record of these things back in the studio, and he sent me last year's picks. I don't see anything wildly outrageous from our picks.
You don't see anything? I mean, I'll call myself out.
Didn't pick the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
No, but I did pick Aaron Rodgers to be my MVP a year ago.
Well,
so
listen,
I regret that pick.
It's not outrageous when a guy gets hurt.
After four snaps in the season,
yeah,
it is a little outrageous.
If he came out and sucked, that would be one thing. But yeah, you can call yourself out for that. You had the Eagles, I believe, as your champion, if I read that correctly.
I did
have the Chiefs. I couldn't remember. I did have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, as did Jad. Shout out to Jad. We all had Mahomes as our MVP. That didn't go that way. So what we'll do here is we'll just sort of give you our playoff teams from each league, from each conference, and then we will go through and take that into the conference championship games, and then our Super Bowl and Super Bowl winner will give you an MVP as well. TJ, hey, welcome in. How are you?
Pretty good. I couldn't find my Hawaiian shirt today. I didn't know if
it's Wednesdays. That's Wednesdays.
Sorry.
Okay. Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays here on Sports Daily, to Tommy's chagrin. We're making that a thing. It's just not just here either, by the way. It's like a society impact we're looking to have with that.
I feel like we're trying to make a really good impression to the KWCH viewers, and this is just driving people away. I fear
it's not. You see, that's where you're wrong. There's a movement happening, and you'll see. Don't worry, it's coming. All right, let's make some predictions here, because the Chiefs are in the AFC. Let's start in the NFC. Seven playoff teams will make it out of the NFC. I will go first here and give you mine, and it will be pretty close to what we saw last year for me. We'll have the Eagles and Cowboys again in from the NFC East. We'll have the Niners in from the West. One change for me is I'm going to put the Cardinals in as one of my four wins a year ago. I have the Cardinals making the playoffs. They added Marvin Harrison Jr. Kyler Murray's back healthy. I think they'll be the surprise team of the NFC. The Lions and Packers, I think, will get back in. And in the NFC South, I think the Falcons with Kirk Cousins will overtake the Buccaneers. Those are my seven playoff teams. Tommy, who you got?
Well, I'm going to go with you as far as the NFC East. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys will make the playoffs. I think the Eagles will win the division. I know that they really
should have said that. I agree.
They really faltered at the end of the season. But I do think that they've got more talent than anybody else in that division. It's going to come down to, can Nick Sirianni finally get it together and get them back to living up to those expectations. But I do think that they'll do that to an extent. The Eagles will win the division. The Cowboys, I think, will be a wild card team. In the NFC North, it's going to be the Lions division to lose. I like the Packers to make the playoffs as well as a wild card team. One change I'm going to make from yours, I do think that the Chicago Bears will make the playoffs as a wild card team. I think three of the four teams in the NFC North will make the playoffs. I don't think the Bears will win the division, but I do think that they're a good, they'll be a good enough team with enough talent and that rebuilt offense around Caleb Williams, where I do think that they can find their way into the playoffs, and the Vikings are in rebuild mode for sure, so I'm going to take them out of it. In the NFC South, really it's going to come down to the division winners in the other two divisions in the NFC, because I only have two spots remaining. I think the Buccaneers will win the NFC South. I liked them a lot last year. Baker Mayfield is having a career renaissance, so I'm going to go with him. And I just don't think that the other teams in that division have much of a chance. I know the Falcons added Kirk Cousins, but I don't really like anybody else that they have on that team. So I'm going to give the Buccaneers the division win in the NFC South. And finally, in the NFC West, it's the 49ers. I don't think any other team in that division will do enough to overtake the Niners or overtake the other teams to get a wild card spot. So those are my seven teams.
So the only difference we have is I have the Cardinals, you have the Bears. Jad, for clerical purposes, I'm putting the Eagles in as the division winner in the East. I think everything else in mind was clear. TJ, what do you got?
I don't know if me and Tommy are on the same wavelength or if we're just going with chalk or what it is, but ours are eerily similar here. So just kind of going through NFC East, I like the Eagles to win the division as well. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if this is the hot take of the NFC. I don't think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. I think
that ain't a hot take.
With all of the CeeDee Lamb drama, yeah, everything like that, they don't really have a running back except for, you know, however old Zeke is this year. I don't think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. The other thing I'm going to throw in there is I'm going to put the Commanders making a run and making it this year as well. I really like Jaden Daniels, what they're doing there. So I'm going to throw them in there. Eagles, as I said, winning the division there. So NFC West, I agree. 49ers are going to be the only team in from that. They're going to win the division there. Far and away the best team in that division. Don't see anybody else hanging with them there. Moving on to the North, I like the Bears getting in, as Tommy said. You know, obviously this offense is going to be a lot of fun. I think that Caleb Williams is going to be really fun to watch with the weapons that he has as his wide receiver room this year. I like DeAndre Swift as the running back on that team as well. And it's going to be kind of a wide open NFC except for this division. I agree. I think the Bears, the Lions, and the Packers will get in there. I'll give the division. I mean, it's really going to be a toss-up because it's going to be such a good one. I think everybody's kind of thinking that the Lions could, but I'm going to give it to the Packers in the NFC North winning that division. And then one team left, NFC South. I really like the Falcons. I think that they've had so much talent for such a long time, and Arthur Smith just couldn't find a way to get it done. New head coach, they get a little bit more talent even in a little bit. Don't love the Penix pick, but even if he's slightly better than Kirk Cousins would be, then it's a good pick. I know you're really high on that, Jacob. So I like the Falcons one way or another. Whoever's playing quarterback, I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah, they'll be better at quarterback regardless, but it'll be Cousins. He'll be good. So let's take it one step further before we get to the AFC. I'm going to put in the Eagles over the Lions in the Super Bowl. I think that's my conference championship game. I do think the Lions are for real. I think that that line doesn't lie. And here's one for you. I believe that Jared Goff plays 14 of his games in the regular season indoors this year. Store that one away because he is a much better quarterback indoors than outdoors, and he plays, I believe it's 14 of his games inside this year. I'm going Eagles over Lions in the NFC Championship game. Tommy?
I'm going to take one of those teams that you picked. I think the Lions are the real deal for sure, and they were so close to getting over that hump a year ago. I think this is the year that they do that. I'm a big Dan Campbell believer. I wasn't. I'll be the first to admit it. when he first came in to the Lions organization. I thought he was kind of goofy and all of that, but he's made me a believer. And with what he's been able to do with that offense and Jared Goff having a career renaissance in Detroit, and regardless, I know that he's a better quarterback indoors, but he's just a good quarterback overall. And he's been what the Lions have been missing for a long time. And then really dynamic talent and skill players around him, you know, really headlined by Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I like the Lions a lot to make it all the way to the NFC Championship game. But I'm going to differ with you. I don't think the Eagles have enough. I think they've got enough talent. I just don't think that they have enough unity and cohesiveness as a team to get over that hump. They've added a lot, don't get me wrong. And Saquon Barkley is a phenomenal addition for them and just adds to their talent. But I do think that they will underachieve this season just because of who their head coach is. I'm going to go with the 49ers. I think it's going to be the Lions and Niners in the NFC Championship game. But I'll give it to the Lions. I think this is the year that the Lions do get over the hump and make it all the way to the Super Bowl.
Biting kneecaps on their way to a Super Bowl appearance for Detroit. That'd be a great story. TJ, what do you think as far as Super Bowl representative from the NFC?
Yeah, championship game here. Obviously the 49ers have all the talent in the world. Question mark on where Brandon Ayuk's going to be. Even if he's not going to be with the 49ers, I think there's still enough talent in that wide receiver room. A lot of people aren't talking about, I think that, in terms of fantasy football, because I play so much of it, Ricky Pearsall is one of the rookies that have slipped on a lot of fantasy boards. But I think if I
hadn't played.
Well, yeah, I know. But as in terms of rookies, if Ayuk's not there, I think that he could take a really big role and, playing so many games in college, I think he could step up in a big way for that 49ers offense that obviously is so has been so successful the past couple of years. Say what you want about Brock Purdy, but he does well in the 49ers offense and the defense is awesome there as well. I'm going to take them against the Eagles in the championship game, as Tommy was saying. So many new pieces there. They were already so high-powered with everything they did, and that was with DeAndre Swift as a running back, who was great, but when you had Saquon Barkley there, the run game is going to be unbelievable with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, and then obviously all the other offensive weapons as well. I'm going to take the Eagles over the 49ers. Eagles get back to the Super Bowl.
All right. Either way, you're going to get some sort of Super Bowl rematch if you predict what I think you will in the AFC, which we'll get to now. AFC predictions. There will be similarities, I am certain, at the end of this. I don't know how you couldn't have them as you make NFL predictions this year. In the AFC for me, it gets tricky. The Chiefs winning the West is the obvious answer, as you started off. And then the problem for me in the AFC is and we have talked about this on this show, I feel like there is one definitively bad team in the AFC this year, and it's New England. I think Denver is probably not going to be a real contender. And as far as a Super Bowl contender, but a playoff contender, I could make a case, honestly, for everybody except the Patriots. So this gets really difficult for me when I'm taking seven. I think the AFC North is one of the best divisions in football, but I also think only two teams are going to come out of it because they'll beat each other up. I think the Ravens and Bengals are in there, so that's three for me. I go to the South. I'm in on the Texans. I'll put the Texans back there. I think the Colts will join them this year with a good faith bet on Anthony Richardson being able to try to play a full season. And then in the AFC East, as that gets me five, I'll take two there. I have a real hard time with this one. I'm not going to bet against Josh Allen. He's done it too many times. So I will still put the Bills in, and I will put the Jets in over the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins just miss. I'll continue to have the Bills. Jad is a division winner there. Chiefs a division winner. Ravens, Texans as your division winners. Those are my seven teams. Tommy?
Taking a look at the AFC West, obviously it's the Chiefs' division to lose. They're not going to lose it. They're going to win the division. You can write that in chalk. It's going to happen. But I do think that also in that division, I think the Chargers will make the playoffs as a wild card team. I like the Jim Harbaugh addition and the new era there in L.A. And I know that there might be some growing pains early on. And outside of Justin Herbert, they did lose a lot. They lost Keenan Allen, and they don't have Mike Williams anymore. They lost Austin Eckler. They lost a lot of their skill players, especially offensively. But that being said, it's Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. It's hard to think that they won't find a way into the playoffs this year. So I like them as the wild card team out of the AFC West. In the AFC South, it's the Texans for sure. I mean, they were such a breath of fresh air a season ago, and nobody thought that they would be there so soon. You know, under their new head coach, and of course C.J. Stroud, and they draft Will Anderson and all of that. And by the way, they add Stephon Diggs this season, and so definitely upgrading their receiver core. I think that they repeat as the division champs in the AFC South. And I like the Colts to make it back to the playoffs as a wild card. I know it's going to be contingent on if Anthony Richardson can get through an entire season healthy. But if he can, we saw him be very dynamic in not only passing but running as well in the short time that he had before he got injured last season. If he can stay healthy plus teaming up with Jonathan Taylor, I do like the Colts to make it back to the playoffs as a wild card team. In the AFC North, that's probably the best division in the AFC from top to bottom, but I think that the Ravens for sure are my division winner with Lamar Jackson, of course, adding Derrick Henry, and they were already dynamic before they bring in Derrick Henry, and now they've got a brand new wrinkle in that offense. I think the Ravens will win the AFC North, and then I'm going to say the Bengals will be the wild card team. Joe Burrow, I'm starting to wonder, you know, how healthy moving forward he will be. And he's just had so many different injury issues over his time in the NFL. And so that does concern me a bit, but they do have a lot of firepower. So the Bengals make the playoffs. And then I'm not nearly as high on the AFC East as you are, Jacob. I've only got one team making the playoffs, and that's the division winner. And I think it's going to be Miami. I, of course, like Josh Allen a lot and what they've done, but they've been dismantled outside of Josh Allen. The defense was old a season ago, and they've basically tried to totally rebuild the team outside of Allen. They don't have Steph Diggs. So I'm going to take the Dolphins. And by the way, with the Jets, I need to see it to believe it with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. I'm not willing to bet on them, even though there are some really good pieces on that team overall. I'm going to say the Dolphins, just with the familiarity that Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa have with all of their skill position players. I like Miami to be the representative from the AFC East.
I think it's the most unpredictable division. TJ, what do you have out of the AFC before we take it into conference championship and a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm going to go through division winners first and then go to the wild cards. AFC South, I think the Texans are going to be awesome. CJ Stroud's a stud of a quarterback. I think he's going to be one of the best in the league. And then adding, you know, Stephon Diggs in that wide receiver room, it's going to be really fun there. AFC North, I think the Ravens are probably the best team in football on paper heading into the year. So the Ravens are going to win the AFC North there. I don't even need to get too much into that. Everybody knows how good they're going to be when they add Derrick Henry. AFC West, the Chiefs are going to continue the run, winning the division there. I think the Chargers are going to slip a little bit. You know, like Tommy said, with so many new pieces and everything like that, I don't know. I know he was high on them getting in, sneaking in there, but I just don't think that, especially with Justin Herbert, question mark of the health with the foot and everything, you know, that's such a slippery slope with that injury of how bad that could be, everything like that. I think that they slip a little bit this year, don't make it in. Chiefs going to win the AFC West. And the AFC East, I'm going to put the Jets winning the division there. If Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy and they can have a quarterback play that is just good enough. I know Aaron Rodgers, what he's capable of. Tommy thinks he's going to win the MVP last year.
That was last year.
There's so many weapons on this team. It's such a good team. Garrett Wilson's so good. Breece Hall's so good. The Sauce Gardner's so good. They just were missing that quarterback leader last year. If they can just keep him healthy and have a game manager back there that knows what he's doing, the Jets can win that division.
I think you're right. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not going to win an MVP, I don't think, anymore. But all he has to do is be better than Zach Wilson, basically, which is
that's
what they've dealt
bar.
With the last couple of years. It's
bar.
A very low bar. Anybody that listens to this show knows how high I am on this Chiefs offense. I think Patrick Mahomes is going gangbusters this year. I cannot put anybody into a Super Bowl ahead of Kansas City right now. I just think they are so much better offensively than they were a year ago, even despite not having the same level of defense. I'll put them there. I think they're going to be a dominant team in the regular season, which will put the path back through Arrowhead. And I will say, I think the team that will challenge them in that game is Houston. I think if anybody doubt CJ Stroud and that sort of jump in the second year, I just invite you to go look at what Patrick Mahomes did in his second year as a starter and what Joe Burrow did in his second year as a starter. There's absolutely a trend in the NFL of that being possible, and they just got a whole lot better on paper. I love their young coach. So I say Houston goes to Arrowhead and loses to the Chiefs, and we get a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl rematch. And I think the Chiefs win it again. They make history. They get the third, and they solidify what will be just an unbelievable run of football. Tommy?
Well, I think we're going to get a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. I'm going Chiefs and Ravens. The only difference is going to be the game, I think, will be in Arrowhead. I think the Chiefs will be the higher seed going into the AFC Championship game, and they'll get to host the Ravens where they didn't get to a year ago. And I do think that the Chiefs beat the Ravens. I love the Ravens this year. I think that they are phenomenal, and they could very easily win a championship. But I've learned my lesson to pick against Kansas City going to a Super Bowl, and I've got to back up what I've said this entire offseason, that I'm going to pick the Chiefs until I'm proven otherwise moving forward. And so I think it's going to be the Chiefs and the Lions in the Super Bowl, Chiefs over Detroit. I think they win three in a row.
All right, I'll keep going here. I'll throw my wild cards in here. The three that I think are going to get in, I think that the Bengals are going to sneak in there in the AFC North. As Jacob said, I think they're going to beat up on each other enough. It's going to be a wild card. They're going to sneak in probably in one of the bottom spots. And then for my other two, I'm just going to go to the AFC East. I'm really big on it too, like Jacob is. I'm going to have the Dolphins getting in. And then for the last spot, I think it's going to be a dogfight between the Bills and the Colts. But I'm going to give it to Josh Allen to sneak in. The Colts going to be the first team out of the playoffs this year. As for the AFC Championship game, I'm going to be the pessimist of the group here. I love the Chiefs more than anybody else. I think what they're doing is awesome, but I'm going to be the one to say it. I think the Chiefs are going to slip. They're going to get the Texans in round two or some bad draw like that. They're going to fall. Just being the Kansas City pessimist here, I think it's going to happen in that fashion. I think that the championship AFC Championship game is going to be the Texans and the Ravens. I'm going to put the Ravens in there against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Ravens-Eagles in the Super Bowl this year.
Who's your champion?
I'm going to give it to the Ravens. I think that they're going to be awesome this year.
They will be good. I mean, Derrick Henry with Lamar Jackson is frightening. Okay, so MVP is the other one we'll predict here. I've got Mahomes. I mean, that shouldn't surprise anybody because I think his numbers are going to be like they were, 5,000 yards in play, 40 touchdowns in play. I'm going to give it to Mahomes because I think his numbers will be eye-popping, and I do think they'll be a dominant team in the regular season.
I think he's going to be really good this year, but when he threw for all of those yards and touchdowns, he had Tyreek Hill on the team. And while the wide receiver room is significantly better than a year ago for Kansas City, they don't have Tyreek Hill on the roster. So I just don't see...
I mean, he didn't in 22, and they
did. Well, I just don't see Mahomes throwing for that many yards and that many touchdowns. I think he'll be great this year, don't get me wrong, and I think he's going to lead them to a championship. But I'm not sure that he's going to win the MVP. For me, I think that there are three top guys. Mahomes is one of them. I think CJ Stroud could easily play his way into the MVP race in his second year in the NFL. But my pick for the MVP is Christian McCaffrey. And just with everything that he's done in San Francisco since coming over to the 49ers, he very nearly won the MVP a season ago. Of course, Lamar Jackson went gangbusters and took that away from him. But I'm going to give it to Christian McCaffrey. I think he'll be the MVP this season in the NFL.
All right, TJ, real quick, who's your MVP?
I'm going to go CJ Stroud as well. I think that the Texans are going to have an awesome year. I still think, by the way, I think the Chiefs are going to get the one seed. I think they're going to slip to the Texans there. The Texans are going to, falter a little bit, but I think the stats that CJ Stroud is going to put up with so many more eyes on him this year than he had last year, knowing what he's capable of doing, I think it's going to be an awesome year there for Houston.
All right, there it is, our NFL predictions. Jad has them written down. Catch TJ's work, all the work. We're also going to talk high school football in the fall. Our countdown to kickoff tour is up. Catch at Kansas.com right now. We've got to take a break. We'll come back, get you just a brief nugget on KU and K-State as we continue on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. A couple of quick segments here for you as we make our way through the home stretch. Gentlemen, let's talk just real quick. KU, K-State, we don't have time for full-blown previews. I think those are about impossible anyway. Predictively, though, if we're looking at it, K-State, KU, What do we think the chances are that they're the top two teams in the Big 12? I think that's sort of the way to look at it. I would say I would put K-State with a better chance. I would say there's absolutely a chance they could both be the top two teams in the Big 12. I'll keep it that way. I think they'll maintain their playoff contention throughout the entire season. Tommy?
Yeah, it's not impossible, but I do think it is unlikely, and it has nothing to do with how good or bad these teams are. But there are a couple of other teams in the Big 12 that I think would like to have something to say about that.
Like 10 of them?
Like, yeah, well, but even more specifically, Utah and Oklahoma State, and maybe even Arizona. I know they've got a new coach, but there are some really, really good teams in the Big 12 outside of the two teams from our state. I think it is likely that one of those two teams between KU and K-State is one of the top two. And it wouldn't shock me at all if at the end of the year, both of them are at the top of the Big 12. But I do think that is unlikely.
TJ, you'll be on those sidelines a lot this year for 12 News. Do you maintain that sort of high expectation for both?
Basically, I've kind of said one way or the other, just because of the Big 12 and the way that it lays out, I know you guys have talked about it a lot, of this conference is going to beat each other up a little bit. I think one of the two will be in the college football playoff in one way or another, whether that's the Big 12 championship at large. I think that K-State or KU will be in. I'd love if both get in, but I think that with the way this conference is set up, that's not going to happen.
It may get a little challenging because they are two teams that play each other in the Big 12, so that could hurt the chances there. But there's also, I mean, fellas, there is a world that exists that those two teams could play three times this year, one of them in a play. I mean, that's how wild this new setup could be. That's why it's very hard to predict. But you could see them match up three times on the way. You know, like that's the cool nature of what we'll get this year out of college football. So we'll obviously on Sports Daily here, we go very in-depth. We have insiders for both KU and K-State. We hear from Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats. Every week, KFH is the home of Wildcat Athletics. We talk a ton of KU as well. So just a very, very brief appetizer there. And of course, TJ and the 12 News crew will have them covered every week as well, oftentimes at those games, reporting live from those games. So Wildcat and KU fans, I hope everybody is appropriately excited for what should be just an incredible college football season that could absolutely, collectively, be the best we've ever seen in this part of the world. Get ready for that. We're going to come back. We'll wrap up Sports Daily right after this.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.